ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
I'm Keaton Parks. Listen to the Benfica podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 328. My name is Alfredo Fumaças. With me tonight, Cristiano Oliveira. Cristiano, diz olá aos senhores.
Olá, senhores e senhoras, e meninos e meninas, todo mundo. Muito obrigado por mais uma vez estarmos a escutar aqui no Benfica podcast.
And also another Oliveira that's with us up north, as you know him. Dave Stats, also known as Dave the Oliveira for his closest friends. What's happening?
How's it? Great to be back here tonight, boys. Another week, another podcast like Steve Santos used to say, but great to be back on.
That's right, our second podcast of the season. And on the agenda for tonight, or on the menu, if you will, we will look back at both the Anderlecht game and Académica. We won't get too much into it, but we'll just offer some general thoughts on what we saw and some of the new players and what we could expect. We'll also look ahead at the Benfica USA tour. Benfica's already stateside in U.S. soil out in the West Coast, and they'll be playing three games, as you know. So we'll get a little bit into that. Also, Cristiano got a chance to catch up with Keaton Parks. We'll have also a little bit of the interview that Cristiano did with Keaton Parks, get his thoughts, and catch up with Keaton Parks. So that's what we'll have. Also, little tidbits of news that have come up that we'll discuss. Salvio, Matteo Perin, Heriberto, so on and so forth. So let's get right into it. And as I mentioned, we're not going to be spending too much time on both the Anderlecht game and the Académica game, but we'll just offer some thoughts. Benfica back in action, kicking the ball officially, if you can want to call it, 54 days later after wrapping up the championship. And look, these are preseason games. Lots of tiredness on the legs, heavy legs. You also have a lot of changes and a lot of changes in personnel, a lot of substitutions that kills the game rhythm, just to give guys some minutes, some reps out there. So that's what we saw. Anderlecht obviously has been is at a different stage of the preseason, so they're a little bit more advanced than Benfica are. Nonetheless, a good test for Benfica. What it was is, Cristiano, that pitch at Estádio da Luz. We came to find out that there was some kind of safety mechanism that didn't alert, and for some reason the grass didn't get water for 2 days
from the sprinklers that were somehow damaged. I don't even know what to say. I mean, that was absolutely embarrassing. But look, they did have a reasonable answer. If the sprinkler system is not working properly, I'm pretty sure at nighttime while the sprinklers are coming on, there's no one at the side of the loop. So they were unable to see what the problem was. Hopefully that will be taken care of when the start of the season comes. We get that beautiful patch of green grass that we're accustomed to at the side of the loop. But yeah, it was not a good look on TV, man. That was just like a patch job and not very appealing to the eye.
Yeah. So the Anderlecht game not only served as the official presentation to the fans of the team, but it also served as Zebu Cup, if I'm not mistaken. They threw that in. And then the special moment, Jonas, goodbye. So it's a sad moment for all Benfiquistas. Dave, how did you see this whole thing, this whole Jonas thing? We had spoken about Jonas last week. We had mentioned some of his stats, if I do recall correctly. But we kind of knew this was going.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it's you can look at it in a way that it was a sad moment Jonas's career was ending. But I was quite happy and proud how the club handled the presentation. The last two guys that come to my mind, Julio Cesar and Luisa, the club didn't really get it correct on those ends. The both players ended up leaving without the fans having to say their goodbyes per se. I know the club did a little ceremony for Louison, but if I'm not mistaken, that was in a closed door stadium. So with Jonas, I think they got it right. Had a game for him, if you want to call it, where the fans got to say their goodbyes. He got to say their goodbyes to the fans. And I think the club actually, for once, got it all right. And I was proud of the ceremony. It wasn't actually sad. It was happy to see how it was all handled.
Dave, I called Alfredo as the ceremony was starting on BTV. You know, see Jonas come out, get very emotional. And Alfredo's my witness. I said to him, look, I love Jonas, and you guys that have listened to the podcast for years now know my affection to Jonas. You know that I thought about this guy who'd be an absolute superstar since day one. And like you said, Dave, it was a proud moment to see Benfica finally recognize a player that's been fantastic for this club since he's arrived, since day one. And I was very happy to see it. But I mentioned to Alfredo, you know, Louison spent 15 or 16 years, if I'm not mistaken, 15, at Benfica, and he didn't get this goodbye. Now, Julio Cesar, phenomenal for Benfica. Thank him for all he did. I was okay with the way they kind of handled it, but I thought Louison deserved a lot more than what he did from Benfica.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this, and probably you're a little bit more in tune or more used to seeing this type of thing than I am. There's the clubs in England do a game that they call the testimonial game, right? So it's not really an official game. The game is not part of the season, but it's a game to honor players. Dave mentioned Louison, Dave mentioned Julio Cesar, but we're forgetting another guy that was instrumental in Benfica's success in the past decade, which was Cardoso, which was a guy that never really got the send-off that he expected or that he deserved. We're talking about the foreigner with the most goals scored with the Benfica jersey in the whole history of Benfica. Do you think that perhaps Benfica should embrace this idea of having a testimonial game, even if it's already after the player has retired? How do these testimonial games go? Is it former glories? Is it current players? How does it go?
It's more complicated in a Cardoso situation, right? Because he's going from Benfica, still going to another team. He has to play, still a professional, still playing at a very competitive level. In this situation with a Jonas, with a Louison, with other guys, you're talking about testimonials in the UK and other countries. Players are retiring, and then obviously, whether it's a preseason friendly or just a game that's you know, an opportunity to for the fans to see their heroes up close and personal for the very last time. So the situations vary. So right now, the Cardoso thing, I'm not surprised. Look, at some point, I think Benfica will in the future bring him inside the loose for him to have an opportunity to say goodbye and go out his way with the Benfica faithful. And the one that really surprised me, as I mentioned before, is Louison. You know, Jonas, obviously, he's retiring. It was very easy to do. But while players are still, you know, in the middle of their careers and making moves, I'm pretty sure their next clubs that these players are going to bring their services to don't want to participating, you know, in a friendly or preseason exhibition match, whatever it is, because of, you know, they're afraid of injuries. But I do expect Benfica to at some point, once Cardoso stops scoring goals, because the guy is still scoring goals at a magnificent rate. no matter where he goes, the guy scores goals. So once he does hang him up, I do think Benfica will bring him in and give him his day of recognition.
Yeah, I certainly hope that both Louison and Cardoso and even Julie said
bring up Eliseu. And
that's what I thought. Mr. Pop Sick. I thought that's who Alfredo was going to talk about when he talked about a legend.
Yeah. But Eliseu now holds, I guess, a special place in Benfica history, right? So he has made his return with the Vish, but nobody had seen Eliseu for the whole entire year. Nobody had heard a peep. Nobody. There was no official confirmation that Eliseu had retired, and now he shows up. But what he did now is that he opens the door for every year that Benfica celebrates the title. Eliseu is a Estádio da Luz with his Vespa. So I think Eliseu is kind of now forced his way in.
He's part of the ceremony. He's part
absolutely.
Of the
ceremony. Absolutely. So
you expect to come out with a vision. Like, that's
what it does. I don't, and I think that that's perhaps the biggest thing that Eliseu could get from the club is to be able for the club to be allow him to come on a field and celebrate with the players in that memorable way, and that he's now immortalized. That I don't think anybody will forget that so soon, especially the first year. But this is what Eliseu opened up. But I just wanted to mention the Jonas thing. I agree with you guys. I thought the club got it absolutely right, and I do. I hope that the club, when Cardoso retires, that they get a chance to have some kind of testimonial game along with Luizão. And I know that Luizão is still connected to the club, and fans still show their appreciation for Luizão. But still, I would love to see those guys come in and have some kind of an exhibition match.
Yeah, the Luizão one was the one that really leaves me confused. I'm surprised that there wasn't bigger fanfare. I'm surprised they didn't make a bigger moment out of that opportunity that they had to get the fans closer to Luizão. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's won the most championships at Benfica, a guy who was a captain for a very long time, a guy who's very dedicated to Benfica. Whether you want to hold it against him that he was trying to negotiate his way out to get salary raises, whatever. Look, it's part of being a professional. Can't fault the guy. Fact of the matter is that he spent a very long time at the club, and I thought Benfica owed him a little bit more. As far as Eliseu, I love Julio Cesar, man. You got Alfredo, you know that. I love Julio Cesar.
Yep.
You have to be very careful. You can't just go around and having these games and matches for a guy that spends 2-3 years at the club. I know Jonas is 4 years or 5 years, but it was at a very, very high level. He was a huge part in conquering titles and a huge part in getting Benfica to where they wanted to be. Had he stayed, if it wasn't for injuries, you know, he probably most likely would have broken Cardoso's record with most goals for a foreigner. He was on that path. It just, unfortunately, his back gave out on him. And those are special players. You can't just be supporting and having, you know, these farewell games for anyone. And I'm not calling Eliseu anyone, but look, he was a nice player. He wasn't Mafora Setti, a guy that's forever going to stay in the Benfica record books. I mean, I think most of us now remember Pop Sick as the guy with the Vispa a lot more than we do for him playing in the field. You know what I'm saying? He's more remembered for that. So we have to take all
that
consideration.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I think that Julio Cesar fits in that. Yeah, he's a guy that was world class, did play for Benfica, but didn't have perhaps the impact that both Jonas and Cardoso's had.
Very short, two and a half years that he, you know, if you really want to call out his stats, I believe it was 2 years where he's for sure a starter, and then I think the 30, that's where he got hurt or whatever, started splitting minutes, whatever the hell it was, but didn't have the longevity. And I know Jonas' longevity wasn't that long, but come on, you could tell the guy, he was a different class. He was a different beast. When you saw Jonas play, you could tell that this guy belongs up there with the greats that I have ever put on a Benfica jersey.
Yeah, so absolutely. So getting back into the game, and the biggest thing that I wanted to touch up and get your guys' opinion is we got a chance to see three guys that Benfica picked up, Caio Lucas, Raul de Tomás, and Cadiz. Dave, I'll start with you. What did you think? Are these two games enough for you to form an opinion on who's going to be a good acquisition and who's going to be just okay?
Two games is a small sample size, especially like you mentioned with all the squad rotation that's happening during the match. So you got to give it take it with a little grain of salt. But so far from what I've seen, not really impressed with Caio Lucas. Like we were talking before the podcast, to me it looks like a Rafa light or a diet Rafa, because he's got all that Jenga, but no finish, or just tries to do too much himself. RDT, well, still, like I said, got to give him some more time and some more opportunity with the starting 11. But the two goals that he banged in the second game, I don't think he'll score an easier two goals than he did in those two games there.
Yeah, I don't even. The Rafa from two seasons ago would have missed those two opportunities.
Yeah, it's very possible. The way I look at Caio Lucas is I think that he's perhaps a Salvio in between knee injuries. As you know, Salvi had two knee injuries, and each time that he had the knee injuries, it seems to take a little bit out of his explosiveness. So what I've seen so far from Kyle Lucas is a guy that has explosiveness, that's also strong physically, and that could has one-on-one skills. Now, I've yet to develop a really good opinion on Kyle Lucas, and I'm hoping that this USA Tour will allow me to get a better look at him. But this is where I perhaps place him right now. I don't know about Rafa Light, because Rafa is super speedy, smaller guy, not as physical, and I think that Kyle Lucas can handle physically. I think he can handle himself. In regards to Raul de Tomas, look, it's important to get those goals under your belt, regardless of how easy they were, because all that does is help your confidence. If you guys recall last season when we had Ferreira, when we had Castillo, when we had Seferovic, those guys struggled early on to get something going. They had some injury issues. They had some issues where they weren't getting playing time. And I think that even into perhaps – the first quarter of the season last season, Rui Vitória didn't really know who his starting center forward was. And then here comes Seferovic without playing one game in the preseason and really grabbed the spot. But I think that it's very important for guys, especially forwards, to get goals under their belt, because that helps their confidence. Cristiano.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little bit too early, guys. I mean, I haven't been absolutely thrilled with what I've seen so far, to be brutally honest, but I think it's early. Not only is it early in preseason, guys, it's early. You know, they just arrived at Benfica. They're still trying to adapt. They're still trying to get comfortable with their surroundings, getting to know their teammates. So it's going to take an adjustment period. But as long as they keep gradually getting better each game, I think that's what Bruno Lage and all of us Benfiquistas should be looking forward to. And, you know, we'll be able to give you a little bit more of a detailed, opinion on these players in the next couple of weeks. We're going to get to see them up and close and personal. And, you know, we'll be able to judge these guys, because we'll be able to see them off camera. A lot of times now you see them on camera, and it's a totally different animal when you get to see a player up close and personal. So we'll do that. You know, we don't want to be irresponsible right now. At least I don't. And giving you my honest opinion on these guys. And, you know, we'll look forward to doing so. But, you know, they've shown flashes, but they've also shown a couple of there's some reservation there on a couple of – of their movements and you know, decisions with the ball. But again, just glad that they're healthy and that they're going to have an opportunity to impress us all up close and personal.
Yeah. And I didn't mention Chiquinho on purpose, because I think that all three of us agree that Chiquinho is a good acquisition. We were familiar with Chiquinho. We're familiar with what Chiquinho can bring to this team. It's a shame that he didn't get an opportunity last year, but I think it kind of played in his favor, right? Because he got a taste of it. He went to Moreirense understanding that Benfica had an option. So we worked very hard to make sure that not only he met his personal goals, he helped his team, but also that at the end of the season, Benfica would have a look at him and consider him for this year's team. And that's what Benfica did. So I get it with him going out, and I think it really helped him a lot. To be perfectly honest, I don't even know if Rui Vitória would know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think last season you would have had a tough time cracking the rotation, let alone the starting 11. And look, to his credit, you have to really praise the kid, because a lot of kids, once they get turned down for, you know, at a big club, they kind of take that as a demotion. They take it as a rejection, and they're not themselves. And he went out to Moreirense, did what he had to do, played his best to the best of his abilities, so much so that not just Benfica, but other clubs throughout Europe were interested in his services, and he kept the right mindset. He used that as an opportunity to get better, and that's exactly what we want to see with any youngster at Benfica going forward, and, you know, at any point, because that's a fantastic mentality to have.
Yeah, look, some guys just resigned themselves to think that, you know, I got my chance at the highest level, I didn't make it, and they don't think they're going to get another chance like that again. And some guys don't. and other guys just are strong mentally that they'll keep working, and they know that they could get another chance. So kudos to him. But that's not, we're not spending too much time on Chiquinho, because I know what he can bring to this team. And I think that even if he's not a starter, he's a guy that can give a lot to this team. So we'll see. The other guy that I'm not convinced on is Cadiz. And he picked up an injury against Anderlecht, and he was not able to play against the Academica, but I'm still not convinced with him. And Dave, I don't know how you feel, if you've seen enough of him. I know that Cristiano is still undecided in regards to Cadiz.
I'm not undecided. I've made up my decision.
I thought last week we discussed that he's probably going to get loaned out, and he wasn't going to stick around with this senior squad going forward. So he got his minutes, and he's probably looking at a loan out of the club.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We've seen his contribution to Benfica live against Anderlecht, and his Benfica career. I think we've seen all he's going to offer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The game of yeah, no, I agree with you, man. To me, this guy doesn't say anything to me. I know it's still early, but we have seen him at Stubel. It's not like he's a Tabata. What's his name? The guy from Portimonense, Cristiano, that you said that you were kind of high on him. Tabata was it? Yeah. He was no Tabata. He's not a guy that he's not a Diego Souza. So it's hard to figure out why Benfica went to get him. But considering what we have seen throughout these past seasons of Benfica buying guys, whether it's to bail out a club that's in debt or whatever, or to I don't know, these deals Benfica does all the time, and they never even put on a Benfica jersey, and they're out and they're gone. So that falls right in line with the mode that we have seen from Benfica. I just don't think he has the caliber to play for Benfica, but we'll see.
He's an interesting prospect. You know, he's big, he's physical, he's mobile, but he's just right now, as we speak right now, I don't think he's Benfica caliber. It's not to say that, you know, he won't develop, that he's still 23. He won't develop, that he won't go to other teams, and maybe in a year, 2 years time that he'll be ready. But right now, I think it's just not his time.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm not the coach, obviously, but Bruno Lage is the one making decisions. But, you know, we're here. We get paid the big bucks to give you our assessment on these, you know, and I got to earn my salary.
Yeah, and in regards to this Académica game, Benfica playing Académica, who is in Portugal's second division or third division?
Second division.
And regardless of being preseason, you're playing against a team from second division, which some of these guys, I don't know if they have other jobs. No, second division. You're making a living.
Professionals.
But I'm not even surprised by the scoreline. I know it's preseason, so on and so forth. There was a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of giveaways by Académica. But look, this is the type of results that I expect when Benfica goes and plays Montalegre. You know, you play a second division team, regardless of that team's history, there's a huge gap between the level of talent of your players and the level and talent in the other team's players. So this 8-0 scoreline is perfectly normal for me, albeit in the preseason. So take it for where it will, for what you will. The biggest thing for me is for the team to have the confidence, for the goal scorers to build up that confidence. And we saw Conti. Conti scored two goals. It's great for him, because that battle for the center back position, that battle, Chris, is going to be tight.
You think so? For the backup.
Well,
for the backup. I mean, because I look, as good as Conti might be this summer and this preseason, I seriously doubt he's going to take any minutes away from Ferru or Ruben Dias.
Well, so let me ask you this. Who's your center back pairing right now? Who do you go to start the season? Starts tomorrow. Who do you go?
That's brincar comigo.
Who do you go with? Who's your center back pairing?
Ferru, Ruben Dias. Did any of those guys get transferred while I was like?
No.
So then they were my starting center back pair last year. Why wouldn't they be this year?
But you also got Jardel. Well, Ferru came in because Jardel got hurt. Yeah, but now you got all of them in equal footing.
think Ferro solidified his position. I think right now Conti's battle for on the roster for playing time. I think he's competing directly with Jardel. I don't think it has anything to do with Ferro or Ruben Dias. I think those two have solidified their positions at Benfica, possibly even on the national team for many years to come. I think that those two youngsters, you know, obviously you made a lot of fanfare about this, Alfredo, if you recall, for the last couple of years, you were talking about those two playing together, how familiar they were with the B team on the U19, yada, yada, yada. And look, to their credit, they did not miss a beat. They came up to the squad, you know, Ruben the year prior, and then Ferro last year gets thrown in there, and just the kid took off. And I think that those two, that's Benfica starting pair, unless one of them gets transferred or some crazy injury. I think that's the starting pair going into the season and you know, and also for the foreseeable future. Jardel, fantastic leader, will be the number one captain on the team. I think somebody else, I don't even know, Salvio Uganda now. I don't know who the Brasileiro. Probably
Almeida.
Almeida. Yeah.
Almeida probably be the captain on the field when Jardel's not on the pitch, but I think that Jardel and Conti will be battling each other to become that third center back for when one of the guys is injured or fatigued or suspended, whatever the case may be. But I think the battle is between Jardel and Conti. I think those are the two, Alfredo, untouchable.
Yeah, that's but I completely agree with what you're saying, but I think that's going to be one of the big questions going into the season is who the center back pairing. But I think these three games in the United States are going to give us some clues as to who the center back pairing will be, because the center back pairing is always a position in which the coach will want to see as much repetitiveness as possible and get as many reps to both to that tandem as possible.
Alfred, I'm very comfortable in saying right now, okay? I'm saying it right now on Benfica Podcast. I don't give a crap if Ruben and Ferro don't play a single minute in this ICC tournament. I will guarantee you.
Come August 2nd.
Come August 4th.
Fourth.
Against Sporting in Algarve for the Supertaça, those two will be your starters.
All right, Dave, mark that down, bro.
Yeah, and you know and it's not like previous summers when Ruben, there was the rumors going around that Ruben might be potentially leaving, because you know what, this year we've already sold João Felix, we've made our money, and I don't think the club is in need of having to sell a Ruben Dias. So yeah, I'm confident that those two will also be the starting center backs to start the season.
Not to mention that Luis Felipe Vieira personally asked Jorge Mendes not to offer Ruben Dias out.
I mean, all signs point to those two being at Benfica, and hopefully for us Benfiquistas, it would be beautiful to see both of those kids at Benfica for the next 3 years. It would just be a beautiful thing. We need to solidify the left-back position, the right-back position, but I think that those two positions, I mean, going forward, forget about it. Unless they get shipped out, those are your two cornerstones, man.
Yeah, we'll have another chance to speak about what the squad needs. Andre Almeida is yet to log any minutes. Ebui also struggling with fitness to get playing time. Grimaldo has been getting some playing time. And again, as long as the market is open, Grimaldo's chances of leaving are always going to be up there. To be perfectly honest, I'm watching this Tavares kid and I'm liking what I'm watching.
Calm on Tavares. Thank you.
Muita calma.
No, I'm telling you, but there's muita calma com Tavares. There's muita calma. Let's not jump the ship already. I mean, look, he's the nice prospect, but stop. I don't think he's ready.
Well, let me ask you this. Between Tavares and Ribeiro, who do you take?
That's not even a question. I mean, look, the fact – I'll just answer like this, very, very politically correct. Obviously, it's Tavares because Ribeiro's no longer here.
No, but if Ribeiro was there.
Come on, bro. Who asked for it?
Solteiros and casados.
Era logo, man. But, nah, I mean, look, I think the kid's an interesting prospect, but just, you know, let's calm down. I know a lot of people are praising him because he had a nice assist against Anderlecht, yada, yada, yada. Let's calm down a little bit. A
couple other notes that I'll mention, and Dave, if you have anything else that you wanted to add, you can. And again, go on the premise that this is still early in the season and there's a lot of training that's being done, especially the physical aspect. But I just wanted to mention a couple things. Nuno Tavares, as I mentioned, has been impressive. Florentino seems to me has disappointed me a little bit with some of the playing that he's had. Again, I know that it's early. I don't know if there's different directives that he's getting from Bruno Lage, but he's getting caught in possession too much. He's missing some passes, and that's not very Florentino for me. Florentino's always been very smooth, and although he's not a builder by nature, he's a guy that takes the ball, passes it, doesn't overcomplicate things. But these two preseason matches that I've watched, I really have been a little bit disappointed with him. The other guy that I wanted to mention is Tarapt. I think that Tarapt is doing the best that he can to really solidify a spot in that starting lineup, if not one of the first options off the bench. Cristiano, I know you're high on Tarapt.
If you paid me any attention, Alfredo, which obviously, for those of you that are listening, Alfredo and I have the pleasure of spending a lot of time together. And Alfredo has learned, he's got this special knack, you know, that he just ignores the shit out of me. You know, I'm talking, he's looking at me dead square in the eye, like, you know, and then it's in one ear, out the other. I think that's the only way he could actually hang out with me, because I don't shut up. But nonetheless, if you actually paid me attention for a second, and last podcast of last season, Dave, my witness, when we talked about sell, loan, buy, Arrivederci, whatever, everything you just said about Florentino, I told you then, you could have just saved yourself a lot of headaches and a lot of time by just selling them, like I said they should. And Tarapt, I called you specifically. I told you Tarapt is going to be a very key part of this team this year. You laughed at me. I told you Tarapt might be the second guy behind Sferovic. He's going to be a huge part in this Benfica season, you know, barring injuries, whatever, because I do think that Lage appreciates him. Lage has him motivated. He listens to Lage, and he has that it factor. He has that ability to break a couple of players and do the unthinkable. And I think that pleases Lage very much. And I think Tarapt is going to keep this up. And I think he'll be an important cog in this season come from Benfica.
Dave?
Well, you know, just for Florentino, his spot might not be guaranteed on the starting 11 now with Gabriel getting back to fully fit there. So he's not guaranteed a spot there between Gabriel and Samaris in the middle there. So yeah, I'd like to see him turn it around. And for Tarapt, we'll see. I think the jury is still out on him. I definitely want to wish him all the best. And he hopefully still has that potential to be a dangerous and key component for this team. I believe his contract is up at the end of this season. So it is make or break time for Tarapt on Benfica.
And guys, I think we Benfiquistas, and I'm going to say us, our, you know, all of us, right? I'm not just going to try to pat myself on the back because I obviously talk about the guy plenty, but we Benfiquistas, we do a disservice to Gabriel. Gabriel is a phenomenal player, man. I don't think people realize how good he is. When he's in there for Benfica, Benfica is a totally different team. The guy oozes class. The guy could, you know, make the pass. There's nothing the guy can't do. I'm just so thrilled to have him back for Benfica because I think he is probably Benfica's most important midfielder with link-up play and transitions. And he's just a joy to watch, guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We all saw last year when he went down, the team definitely struggled there towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
I'm going to say, Alfredo, sorry to cut you off. You're used to that. I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care who it pisses off. All right, Gabriel being fit should get called up to the Portuguese national team, and I can't wait to see him on the Portuguese national team. Throw my ass up.
No, look, I think that it's going to be a tough job for Florentino to crack. As you guys mentioned, Gabriel is the one guy. He's probably one of the first guys that goes on my starting 11 as I'm filling it out. Then you got Samaris, who we just renewed. I mean, did you just renew with Samaris to have him sit on the bench so Florentino could play? It's difficult, but we'll see. Nonetheless, it's always good to know that Florentino is on the bench and he's a kid that could be learning from his time with the pros, could be learning with Lage, could be learning on game time experiences and situations. And he's a kid that could come in and give his contribution, especially because of his lung, if you will, and his endurance that you need for that position. And he's a guy that is a better destroyer than he is a builder. And sometimes there's games that call for a destroyer, not so much a builder. So in that aspect, I think that Florentino will be very useful for Benfica. But right now, as it stands, I don't think he cracks that starting lineup for me in the middle of the park. So anyway, Dave, I don't know if you had anything else that you wanted to add in regard to these games, but we're gonna move on.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we want to get on the off the field whatever happened there in the 30th minute against Academica.
Yeah,
unfortunate scenes between the both sets of fans, but Bruno Lage hit it right on the head at the his flash interview. You know, this is the stuff we got to get rid of in Portuguese soccer. Doesn't matter if you're wearing green, black, blue, red. This shit has to stop. This stuff was going on in England in the 80s and 90s, and they cleaned it up, and now it's a top league in the world, right? They don't put up with that crap anymore. So I think it's time something gets done in Portugal as well.
Look, I agree. And just to give everybody a little background on the story. So Benfica played that in Coimbra at Estádio Municipal de Coimbra. And apparently they put the Mancha Negra, which is Coimbra's official plaque. I don't know if they're official or not or non-official, but I think they're official. They put them in an area where it was very close to Benfica fans. And Benfica fans being in their majority, obviously there's always things that are said, words that are exchanged. But apparently there was some families where that area was. And as soon as the cops came in to start kind of calming things down, some of the families started coming onto to the pitch. At that point, the game was interrupted. Then there was a Benfica fan that was sitting on the little wall that divides the track. The track from the stands, and somebody came and pushed him. He fell backwards, knocked his head on the track, broke a vertebrae. He's in the hospital, and now there was all these things that happened, and this is in a preseason game, so I have to question the way that this was set up, the security aspect of it. Why wasn't separation between the clock and the Benfica fans? So there's a lot of questions here, but I absolutely agree with Bruno Lage that things like that, attitudes like this, and these actions that are done by guys that are responsible, that they don't think, they have no regard for other human beings' safety, need to be looked by the Portuguese justice system and be made an example. As they've mentioned, things were like that in England, and now it's an atmosphere where families go. You see women, you see children, you see families having a good time watching the game. And that's the way that Pedro Proença should want this league to be, to have that type of atmosphere, to be safe for everyone. I mean, we're not too far removed from that afternoon in Guimarães in which a father was hit by the police, brutally hit by the police in front of his child. We're not too far removed from that. But I think that these are the type of situations where both the league and the Portuguese government and the authorities need to step in and make an example out of these things so people start taking these things serious and it doesn't turn into some kind of a war on the stands where people are going to get hurt and people are going to die. And this is on a preseason game. So I hope that the Benfica fan will get better. The guy has been identified. He has turned himself in to the police. He has been questioned, but I don't think he remained in jail. But it's. I agree with Bruno Lage that these things should be getting looked at. These guys that go to football just to disrupt, just to be violent, should be made an example out of it. And I know that the Portuguese justice system could use a little help with the way that their penalties and the prison time and jail time and so on and so forth, But I think that they need to start making an example out of people in order for others to take a look and not follow the same steps, irresponsible steps, and create this violence around a game that everyone loves and that families want to go out and enjoy. So it is what it is, but I don't want it to be what it is. The Portuguese authorities should really, really look at this, and Pedro Proença especially, because if he's trying to make the league more popular, you know, then you should be making examples out of these situations.
Yeah. Fix it before there's a life or two that is cost, because this is the road that it's leading down.
Absolutely. Cristiano, any thoughts on that before we move on?
As I was saying, it's the ugly side of the game, and hopefully they clear that up. You know, you want families, you want to promote the game, you want the youngsters to get into football, and biggest way to promote the sport is by having children attend the matches. And unfortunately, the way that some people think, it's very hard for you as a parent to take your kid into an atmosphere such as that, and it's, you know, it's very concerning. Hopefully the authorities and the Portuguese league and federation and whomever comes to a conclusion that there's something that needs to be done here, and hopefully they'll take the right steps in the near future.
Absolutely. So next up, Benfica did travel to the United States for their ICC participation. But before that, a guy that was with Benfica last year when they came to the International Champions Cup was Keaton Parks. Cristiano spent some time with Keaton Parks as NYCFC visited the Rebels at Red Bull Arena here in Harrison. Cristiano had some time to ask Keaton some questions. Let's hear it.
What's going on, guys? I'm Cristiano Oliver. I'm sitting here with our good friend Keaton Parks. Obviously, for those of you that don't know, he still belongs to Benfica, but he's on loan now with NYCFC, I should say, in the MLS. And with that, we start our questions with our good friend Keaton. Keaton, how have these first few months been in the MLS for you so far?
Well, they've been good. Start was rough. I mean, I didn't get a lot of playing time, but I was always working hard in training. The team was doing well, so I just had to keep waiting for my opportunity. And it's been good so far. I've been enjoying it a lot. The team's been doing good. We're at a good spot in the table and in the league right now, so we're doing good.
And you touched on my next question, which was going to be, the beginning of the season, you weren't getting a lot of minutes, and now it seems like you're playing regularly. What's changed?
I mean, nothing really. We had some absences for national team breaks and stuff like that, so I got my opportunity and I took it, you know. I've been working hard all year in training and everything and just trying to earn my spot, and so I've just been ready all season and waiting for that.
What's the biggest difference between MLS playing some of the football over in Europe? I mean, obviously, everybody gets asked this question, anybody that makes the jump over the pond. So, you know, I got to ask you too, Keaton.
I don't know. I mean, it's just different levels of soccer, you know. Europe, they live and breathe soccer, you know, or football every day, all day, since they're kids, that football was their life. So I mean, in that sense, it's just like a whole lifestyle there. But here it's similar. All the players here, we've been playing football since we were kids as well. So I mean, it is our lifestyle. The fans are different. Just like the culture of soccer is different in the U.S. obviously, but the level's good. The level in the MLS is high. It's growing as well. It's getting better every year, so it's been good.
How did it feel being voted NYC's Player of the Month for the month of June?
I mean, it felt good. It's just a little reward for all the hard work I've been putting in this year. I've finally got my opportunity, and I took it, and I performed well, and it's a good little reward.
Are you still following Benfica?
Of course, yeah. I follow all the guys on Instagram and Twitter and everything, and I talk to them a little bit, and I've been following their preseason so far.
Thoughts on João Félix's big move to Atletico?
Yeah, well-deserved.
How do you think he'll adapt to Cholo Simeone? I mean, obviously, he's known as a defensive coach, and João was a guy that needs a ball at his feet. How do you think the two of them are going to link together?
I think he'll do really well. At the start, he'll have to learn to defend a little bit more, but I think once he gets that down, obviously he's a top-level player. He has a lot of talent, a lot of a big future ahead of him, and he's one of the best players I've played with at such a young age, so I think he's going to do fine and grow a lot there.
All right, great. Keaton, thank you for your time, man. Appreciate all the love and wish you nothing but the best of the luck. Alfredo wishes he was here. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it, but he told me to say hello. And you have an invitation for the podcast whenever you're available.
All right. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And there it is, Cristiano. Great meeting Keaton, as always. What did he seem like? Was he in good spirits? He spoke about, obviously, MLS's experience so far, and that he still follows Benfica. What else were you able to take out of Keaton?
I mean, unfortunately, man, that Keaton, along with his teammates, presidents, GMs, coaching staff, you name it, directors, anyone that was tied to NYC, he was very upset because of shenanigans that went on in the game. But Keaton still seemed very, very content to be speaking to us. It was very high spirits, and he had nothing but praise for Benfica and the people over in Portugal that took care of him. And it's always good to see him, man. He's a good friend of the pod, and I'm glad he's finally doing well here at the NYCFC. And we wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So Keaton had some – he struggled early on to get some playing time. There was a break in MLS for Copa America and Gold Cup, which are the tournaments that are held on this side of the world. Keaton had some playing time, grabbed the spot, has been a regular for NYCFC. He was actually voted, as you heard in the interview, the June Player of the Month by NYCFC fans. So kudos to Keaton for keeping working hard and waiting for his chances, being patient for his chances, and then really grabbing his chances by the horns.
Well, the one thing you'll never question about Keaton Parks is his mentality and his attitude. And I think those are two aspects of his game that he's very strong in. So I'm glad to see he worked through the tough times. But look, just like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast about Raul de Tomas and Caio Lucas. Is that his name? Lucas Caio?
Caio Lucas.
Yeah, just like we talked about them, the same situation happened for Keaton, going to a totally different country, a totally different league, needed to adapt to his teammates, adapt to surroundings, and hopefully, the same way he's been able to adapt and turn his season around here at NYCFC, hopefully those guys at Benfica are able to do the same. But, it's part of football, man. Things don't just click. Not everybody just, snaps their fingers and all of a sudden, everything is perfect. So kudos to Keaton, right mentality. But that's one aspect that I will never question about Keaton Parks.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, kudos to Keaton, and thanks for spending some time with Cristiano and answering his questions. Turning our attention now to the ICC, Benfica traveled to the U.S.'s West Coast, namely San Francisco, this week. 28 players traveled. Vlaco Dimos, Vilar, and Zlobin were the goalkeepers that Bruno Lage brought in. As far as defenders go, Andre Almeida, which is still recovering from an injury, but he traveled with the team. Ferro, Jardel, Ruben Dias, Nuno Tavares, Conti, João Ferreira, Grimaldo, and Eboui. Midfielders, Florentino, Pizzi, Feisa, Chiquinho, Rafa, Samaris, Gabriel, Caio Lucas, Zivkovic, who has just joined the team, Servi, Tarabt, Thiago Dantas. I'm not sure whether or not Jetson, I know that Jetson's recuperating from a fractured toe, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he traveled with the team or not. There's conflicting reports between Record and Ebola. I'm not sure if he did or not, but we'll get to see him soon. Forwards, Raul de Tomas, Seferovic, and Jota. So Cadiz didn't even come to the U.S. tour. And as I mentioned, he picked up an injury against Anderlecht and has not been available to play. So some cuts already being made here, Cristiano, by Bruno Lage. João Ferreira, which we'll get into in a little bit, most likely will end up either leaving camp midway or leaving Benfica once he returns to Lisbon. He's been talked about in a deal for Perin with Juventus. We'll get into that in a little bit. But 28 players, Cristiano, 28 players, do you still find 28 players to be a lot at this point in the preseason?
No, absolutely not. Considering when you're traveling to a whole different continent, you're going to play three games within, eight days. You got training. You just want to make sure that all these guys are up to par. They're all caught up physically. They're all caught up tactically with the Bruno Lage's system and his tactical standpoint. In case there is injuries early on, that these kids, the younger ones and the seniors, whatever it may be, that they want to all be ready to go when the whistle blows, it, you know, for the official games. So I think, look, in years past, they brought 31 players.
Yeah.
So 38, you know, I mean, they'll find a way to rotate them all.
Yeah, if you recall that that one year where we went, I remember Steve Santos saying, this looks like a soccer camp. There was so many players, so many guys kicking a ball around. It just looked like a soccer camp, for real. But yeah, 28 players, I mean, albeit not yet at the number that will be finalized by Brun Lage, nonetheless, we got guys here from the B team that will probably end up going to the B team. But as Cristiano mentioned, 3 games in 8 days is a lot, especially for this time of preseason when there's a lot of double and sometimes triple sessions that this team is going. Dave, excited about having Benfica on this side of the pond? I know that you won't have a chance to watch any of those games live, but still, always a good thing to have Benfica on this side.
Yeah, of course. I've made my feelings heard about them not crossing the northern border, but that's for another podcast. But yeah, you guys get to enjoy them there in the States. I know a lot of Canadians are going to be traveling down to watch Benfica, and like we've said, this is the biggest tournament, summer soccer tournament in the world. So if Benfica can attach their brand to this this tournament, it helps out the club and helps out the fans on this side of the pond as well.
Absolutely. So the schedule as it stands, on the 20th, Benfica will play Chivas. That's this weekend, as we record this. On the 25th, that's midweek next week, Benfica will play Fiorentina at the RBA, Red Bull Arena in Harrison, New Jersey. Then on the 28th, Benfica will travel up to Massachusetts to play Milan at Gillette Stadium, home of the New England Patriots. So both Cristiano and I are going to be at the games here on the East Coast, Fiorentina and Milan. So if you see us, come by and say hello. We hope to meet many of you guys out there. So looking forward to meeting a bunch of the guys that we usually know. I know that Mario and the rest of the gang will be traveling from Canada. So we'll look forward to seeing those guys.
As we speak, rumors in Portuguese media and even Italian media reporting that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot about that. I was going to get into that.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Matias Perin is finally coming to Benfica. Benfica has messed around with this romance of adding Matias Perin since his Genoa days. It goes back to 2013 when he was very young. He is, you know, was a very good goalkeeper prospect, and they finally were able to bring their crush on board, it seems like. And the young kid, João Ferreira, will be going the other way to Juventus. Wish him the best, but, you know.
Here's what I'm hearing in regard to Perin. 15 million, which will make him the most expensive goalkeeper Benfica has ever bought, beating Roberto, which was the highest before. And João Ferreira, right back, 18 years old, would go, again, this is not official, will go on loan to Juventus. We know that Juventus and João Cancelo is probably looking to make the jump out of Juventus. So João Ferreira would just be somebody to add to their depth chart as far as right backs go. Loan with the 12 million option to buy at the end of the loan contract, which would be at the end of June. So we'll see how that goes. Salvio to Boca is probably done at this point.
The president pretty much announced it. His wife pretty much has announced it. I think it's as good as done.
Yeah. I mean, it's not official yet, but I think that, as Cristiano mentioned, it's as good as done, because there's a lot of parties are already speaking towards that. 6 million for half is what Boca has paid. No? Or are you hearing something else, Cristiano?
7 million, 8 million for 50% of his pass.
Okay.
know, it's roughly $6 million, $7 million. Who cares? I mean, we're not going to see a penny of it, but Benfica will, and hopefully they'll turn that around and bring in some other quality players. I mean, I'm very excited to see what Benfica's been able to do for the bank accounts, but now it's very important that they turn it around and spend it wisely, reinforce this roster so we can make some type of a run in European competitions. I know it's preseason, but you know me, I'm always looking ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And with Salvio leaving, then it looks like that that kid Neto from where was he at?
Lazio.
Lazio.
The Braga
The two Braga kids will become a reality. There was some polarizing opinions on whether or not Benfica should be spending that much money on two unproven kids. But with Salvi going out, there's a possibility that Benfica will look to close out that deal. Whether it's going to be a 2-for-1 or just a one player, I'm not really sure, but that will open the door. And speaking of young kids, Heriberto, who spent last season at Moreirense, will be going to Boavista on loan. That's been made official. And also one last tidbit of news. Benfica has confirmed that they have sold 43,741 red passes for the upcoming season. That's a 6.4% increase from last season. And just to give you a little bit of perspective, during the 2013-2014 season, Benfica sold 19,000 red passes. In the 16-17 season, Benfica sold 32,000. And again, the stadium holds 64.6. Benfica sold 43.7. So it looks like there will be roughly 20,000 seats up for sale for the general public or for the Sócios. Cristiano, what do you make of this increase in popularity? You think that, and we know the struggles that the Portuguese public in general has with their finances, but do you think that this is something because of what they've seen from Laje and the attractive soccer that Laje has brought to Benfica? You think that fans are excited to see Benfica?
Of course, man. I think, look, and when we're talking about season tickets, Alfredo, majority of those, they're nowhere near season tickets here in North America, what we're accustomed to, all right?
Yeah.
Finances over there might be dried up in some places, but, they're very affordable tickets. And I'm very happy that the public is turning out, and obviously the demand is greater than it has been in years past. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Benfica won the title and things look promising heading into this season. Again, everybody's very motivated and excited with Bruno Lage. I mean, the guy is an absolute phenom. And so, look, it's Benfiquistas. I mean, it is what it is. It's exactly what we expect. This should be like this every single season. That stadium should be sold out, packed to the gills every single game. And so I couldn't be happier.
Absolutely. And now it's really it. We'll say goodbye to you guys, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget to follow Cristiano at 10CO10, Dave 87DO87, at Benfica Podcast, BenficaPodcast.com, Planet Benfica. I haven't mentioned those guys in a while. João and Manel, always good.
Manel, what's up?
Always good to see those guys. It's a pleasure. That's all we got. Next week, we'll be back. We'll offer our opinion on both the Chivas game. I don't know if we're going to record prior to Fiorentina or after to Fiorentina. We'll have to see. But again, you will have our opinion, as we will be watching the team very closely since they're on the side. So thank you very much for checking us out, Cristiano. Always a pleasure. Dave, see you, buddy.
Great to be on. Have a good night, guys.
Ciao, Laura.